game show.
Thursday, March 21, 2024. Flyers just lost to the Carolina Hurricanes in overtime. I feel like every time we're on a post-game show this year, it's been in overtime. But, yeah, Nick is back. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Daniel, and good evening, everybody.
Well, that was an interesting game. Hurricanes are an interesting team. I think my hot take after watching that one, really just after their series this season, I think they could beat them in the playoffs. I think the Flyers could take down the Hurricanes. I don't think it would be pretty, but in a 7-game series, I don't know what the betting odds would be. I don't know if they would be favored, but I think they could do it.
You think Ersan can give you 4 good games?
I'm far less concerned about Ersan than I am just everyone else not being able to score a collective goal between them. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Hurricanes, like, every time I've caught them in a team, you know, when they're facing a team not the Flyers, I'm like, man, they're good, you know? And then they play the Flyers, and I'm like, huh, that was fine. I just think they're essentially what the Flyers are attempting to build, right? A hard-working, good coach team. The only difference is they've got main roster talent, and the Flyers don't.
Correct.
It just feels like those two positives come together, and I don't know. I think they could do it.
Same thing with the Panthers, right? Like they're more of a physical.
The Flyers can edge the Panthers close.
Yeah,
those games have been pretty fucking ugly, but yeah, they walked away with victories both times.
Both times, shockingly.
But I think if they make the play, if they can hang on to that third Metro spot and take on Carolina, I think they have a chance. Now, if they fall into one of the wild card spots and have to take on Boston, Florida, or New York, they're done. They're dead before it even began. But
let's break it down.
Even though they lost, I felt pretty good about that one.
Yeah, they never gave up. Travis Konecny finally scored, probably because I shit on him again on Twitter. And then he scores.
What it always happens, right?
Yeah, and then shoves it up my hoop. But yeah, who'd have thought if you take Mark Stahl and Sean Couturier out of the lineup, they'd stop bleeding goals? Well, yeah, I went there.
Konecny's first goal since February 21, a full month.
Wow. Well,
in Chicago, nonetheless.
Yeah, well, it was long overdue, and it was all thanks to another beautiful between the legs play by Morgan Frost.
Yeah, Frost is getting cocky here with the between the legs stuff.
I mean, last time you had me on, I said he seems to dangle and do nothing with it. Well,
which is still on the whole true, but he's been cashing in a couple times lately.
Yeah, so. And he's leading the team in points since the new year. They showed
that. Oh, God. Morgan Frost blew
my mind.
The thing about Morgan Frost is the reason why this guy drives me nuts is he's one of those guys, like, every time he scores a goal, people on Twitter just lose their fucking minds.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I told you he's good! Shut the fuck up! He's got 40 points.
Yeah.
God, dancing in the end zone over something so ridiculous is the main reason why I don't like that guy to begin with.
It's kind of like me with Konecny.
Yeah, Konecny fits into that category as well. JVR was another one people used to do that with a lot.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Where he would go 3 months without scoring, and then he put up 6 points in 2 games, and now these assholes go, hey, I told you he's a good scorer, Daniel. Fuck you.
I felt like both Carolina's goals tonight were, well, aside from the overtime, the regulation goals. The first one was a god-awful turnover by Konecny.
Yep.
And ended up in the back of that. And the second one, now I'm forgetting who turned it over, but it's still like, Carolina caught him on in transition and made him pay again. And then Flyers did the same thing to them.
Yeah.
But the Lawton goal, that was a beautiful passing play. I feel like Brink has responded nicely to his benching.
Believe it or not, you give this guy an opportunity and he actually does well.
Yeah, like you disciplined him. Well, let him learn from his disciplinary
action.
They
punished him by benching him and sitting him on the third line fourth line for last month. Yeah, but yeah.
Let him learn. And the second goal was just a nice play all around by the forwards. And yeah, the third goal was Farabee had a wide open look in the slot, missed the net, 2-on-1 the other way, game over.
Yeah. That's those 3-on-3 overtimes do not favor these Philadelphia Flyers.
No, it exposes their lack of skill.
Yes, very badly. But yeah, I don't have many complaints on this one on the whole. It was fine. I think, you know, Brink played 15 minutes and 4 seconds of ice
time.
There
we go. There we go.
Which I believe is the first time he's eclipsed 10 minutes in, I don't even know how long. Let me check the number on that one. Probably been a while. God damn it. I'm getting this cough looked at tomorrow, everyone. Don't worry about it.
Good job.
Finally caving, because I can't take it anymore. It's the first time he's played more than 11 minutes of ice time since February 27th.
Almost a month.
Just about a month, yeah.
Was there... Lixell played tonight, but I barely feel like I barely heard his name.
Because he... Yep, 5 minutes and 55 seconds of ice time.
Come on.
The Phantoms are desperately fighting for a playoff spot, and they would rather have this guy up here playing 5 minutes a night rather than him scoring 5 points a night when he's in Lehigh.
Was he the least played for tonight?
Delorier played 3 minutes and 44 seconds.
So he basically got Delorier-level minutes tonight.
Pretty much anybody that's riding on that fourth line is not seeing a lot of ice time. Yeah.
Ugh.
Cates was the other one at a massive 6 minutes and 58 seconds.
You gotta give Cates and Lixell some chances.
Which is funny, because people were fucking jerking that guy off recently, too.
Look
how
like...
good he's been! Shut up.
Well, he really isn't doing anything on the score sheet, but... yeah, I tonight was a good Ersan game, right? He looked pretty good tonight, Ersan. I don't blame him for any of the goals, but... since you've last had me on, he's had some shockers.
Complete hit or miss most nights.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I mean, he's better than... I mean, Sandstrom's terrible.
Not very good.
No, he's not good. But there's no other option right now in the organization unless we go over to Russia and bust Fedotov out of the gulag.
Yeah.
Or just round up the troops.
Kolosov on a plane already. But even then, there's no goddamn way he's playing in the NHL. So.
Round up the troops of Flyers Twitter. We're going to go rescue Fedotov. Bring him to America. Should we discuss? Not trying to get too repetitive, but you know, Couturier getting scratched and they've won both games. Mark Stahl getting scratched and they've won both games. Before the Leafs game, I was flipping out on Twitter because the Flyers were averaging 5 goals against per game since the deadline. And is it all Sean Couturier and Mark Stahl's fault? No. But I think a lot of people, aside from the people that we will not have to mention their names, we've matured. We're not going to do that. But there's people out there that refuse to say anything bad about the Flyers. But I've seen a lot of people come around and say, hey, Sean Couturier's been kind of shitty lately. His play's dropped off, has his age caught up to him? Is it a lack of playing over the last couple of years? I don't buy into that. But there's a lot of theories of why his play has dropped off. I mean, you and I, for 4 years now since you've had me, have not been very attached to Couturier, I'll say. Like, you've written many
of putting
a piece.
It nicely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've said, we both have said, like, who cares if you trade away Sean Couturier? He's been here long enough, and you've got all you can out of him. Now he's your captain, and now he's being scratched? Healthy scratched? Because he's playing so shitty? Like, he got that C, and it weighs a metric ton on his chest. He's been playing like shit ever since he got it.
Yeah, I mean, ironically enough, February 15th was the first game that he played with captaincy. It was also the first time that his ice time was cut. Like, he's been on the down. The thing about Couturier, and I put this on Twitter before the game, so we can investigate it here. But, you know, it's been 2 games now. Mm-hmm. Has anybody even noticed that he wasn't in the lineup?
I have not.
If I didn't tell you before the game, and you didn't know any better, would you even notice he was missing?
Nope.
Were these 2 games any different than any game that come before it this season?
Nope.
No.
Power play still stinks one way or the other.
I think the faceoff numbers are down. I'm sure there's some micro stats on the penalty kill and the team defense in general that probably do not favor them without Couturier. But on the whole, you know, he's just missing. And, you know, the thing about Couturier, like, he's old and slow and broken down. And the thing about Tortorella is he is a bitter asshole making questionable decisions with his archaic methods.
Mm-hmm.
And the media has taken up both sides on this one. There are people that are very pro and anti-Torts, and there are very people that are pro and anti-Couturier. You know, Sarah Valli ripped into Tortorella this morning, and there's a lot of these Flyers beats, presumably different fucking fan blogs out there, that think that Tortorella can do no wrong in the greatest thing ever. You know, no matter what they're going to do. So it's just, I think all three things are true. Couturier's old and sucks. Tortorella's an asshole, and the media is just making more out of this and actually is there. You know, I saw somebody on Twitter this morning said, oh, you know, the captaincy's not a player. No, the only reason this has drawn as much criticism as it has is because they named him captain 34 days ago. I guess 35 days ago now. But if he wasn't a captain, it would just be scratching a fucking 31-year-old guy because he sucks.
Yeah.
The only reason this drew the account, like, I compared it to the Yandel thing on the Papa Show the other day. Like, Keith Yandel, old, sucks, but he had the streak. Mm-hmm. You scratched the streak, it blew up this national fucking media storm over something so stupid, even though he deserved to be scratched. It's the same thing with Couturier. This guy sucks. He deserves to be scratched. But because you just named him captain, out of the blue for no reason, by the way, we've talked about that one before.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you shot yourself in the foot because a decision that is rightful is now in the judgment because you just benched your newly named captain. You draw this unnecessary heat to yourself for no reason.
Yeah. Like we said in the group chat, like the Brotherly Pod group chat that we're all in. Like, now you wonder, like, how... We're just pontificating, but, like, how much was this Torts' call? How much was it Briere and Jones? Like, you would assume they all talked about it, but... Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer for this, per se. Like, if you want to think Torts is archaic sometimes in his rulings, yeah, I can fuck with that. I understand what people are saying sometimes. We complain about how he has refused to give kids a chance, has been way too hard on them. And I also agree that Couturier's been playing like shit. And if, like you just said, if you didn't randomly give him the C because it's been put out there multiple times that we don't have a captain this year, we're not gonna have a captain next year. All this stock put into who's gonna get letters on their sweaters, and then you're just, oh, Jean Couturier's got the letter.
Yep. Like,
well, his play is dipped, and we flipped out about this a couple years ago when he got that extension by Chuck Fletcher, who I will again say was one of the worst displays of a general manager in any major U.S. sport. That was a disaster. Again, it's a 31-year-old who's got a lot of fucking miles on him, major surgeries, and he's falling apart here.
Yeah.
In the final third of the season.
Who would have thunk that signing your 30-year-old to a lifetime contract would backfire on them?
I saw a lot of people agree with me, and I think you too, where, and just other people tweeting it, like, who is he to fucking whine that much to the media? Like, if you're a fucking leader, then keep it behind closed fucking doors, like apparently you're supposed to, and you've been given, again, not by Briere, but by Fletcher, like, this deal that you probably, in my opinion, haven't fucking earned. What has he done here? That's what I always used to flip out about years ago when we talked about it. What has he done here? He had a nice playoff series 12 fucking years ago, and then he was part of that core of Shen, Simmons, Voracek, Giroux, himself. Okay. Yeah, and Lawton. Lawton's been here forever.
That's another thing. And I talked about this on the website earlier this week in that Couturier piece. If the previous group had such a bad culture and everything was so terrible and atrocious and toxic, why has Scott Laughton been your de facto C for the last 2 years, and you named Sean Couturier captain?
Yeah.
The two guys that have been here for over a decade are your leaders of this new regime, despite the fact that the previous era was so bad. It's almost like that was a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
This whole culture thing is ridiculous. It's a selling point.
Yeah, so we talked about our group chat. Like, this culture. Okay, well, he was part of that culture, was he not? Maybe, to play devil's advocate, maybe Couturier didn't have a voice in the room with Voracek and Giroux around. And word has it, Voracek was a bit of a curmudgeon. He even joked about it recently on Nasty Knuckles. So maybe Couturier didn't have much of a voice for a while. And, you know, Scott Laughton, over the years, he's said some of the right things to the media about, like, Pride Night and other organizations. Like, it's good. Laughton has said and done the right things.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit Laughton's for that.
Laughton's a good leader.
Yeah. So, and again, he plays that bullshit two-way game that Tortorella whacks off to, you know what I mean, all the time. So, but if there's this culture, your new captain's whining to the media that he got scratched, which, and I've seen this take too, he's a pride guy, he's probably a prideful guy, first time it ever happened to him, maybe he hasn't realized, I don't know, that he's not playing so fucking good. Everyone's got egos, you know what I mean? You have to have a pretty big ego to get that far in professional hockey. But, yeah, I to double back to what you're saying, no. Hardly noticeable that he's not in the lineup. Definitely noticeable that Mark Stahl's gone. Like, the defense is significantly better.
Yeah, now if they just blasted Eric Johnson back to wherever the fuck he came.
Oh, my God, he stinks.
He's bad.
So speaking of that, if I can, I know it's supposed to be a post-game show, like reviewing the game itself, but we hardly ever do that. It seems like Eric Johnson's go-to move is to get beat and then just dive.
He's doing the Andrew McDonald and Starfish.
Yeah, he stinks. And what I didn't even realize, because I've been listening to your episodes with everyone else. So he acquired Sean Walker in that three-way trade.
Yes.
Over the summer. In doing that, he also took on a fucking horrible contract in Cal Peterson,
mm-hmm.
who has shown he can't even fill in, like, occasionally. I can't believe I've been to two games that he played, and he won them both. I can't believe in both AHL and NHL. So you took on a shitty contract to get rid of Ivan Provorov, because he was a alleged douchebag in the locker room and did some questionable shit, right?
Yep.
Good riddance. You have a bad attitude. He made it clear he didn't want to be here anymore. Goodbye. But you take on that contract, whatever. Sean Walker worked out. Then to move him, you again take on a really bad contract.
Mm-hmm.
What are we, the fucking Arizona Coyotes, where we're fucking taking on these contracts? We're the fucking Flyers. What the fuck is Briere doing?
The Flyers don't know what they are these days. I think that's probably the biggest issue.
It's not a rebuild. Stop calling it a rebuild. It's not. This isn't a rebuild. A rebuild is what the fucking Blackhawks did. It's what the Rangers did. That's a fucking rebuild. It's when you get rid of fucking everybody, except maybe like a couple young guys. Yeah, hold on to some young guys. And that's it. This isn't a fucking rebuild. You wouldn't have acquired Eric Johnson. And if you wanted to reward the team, then just fucking keep Sean Walker and let him walk. Or sign him at the end of the year. But Eric Johnson, it's like, oh, you guys are doing good. Here's Peter Mrazek.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
Pretty much.
This isn't a fucking rebuild.
Derek Grant, Nate Thompson.
Yes. Same thing. It's not a rebuild. You want to make the playoffs. I'm fine making the playoffs. But then, if this isn't a fucking rebuild, because that Colorado Avalanche pick is until next year, and it's going to be a late round pick.
Yep.
If you're going to rebuild this year with some draft picks, that's a late round, first round
their
pick.
Their own pick. I mean, so, yeah. Florida's probably going to make a run this year. The Flyers are more likely making the playoffs, so they're not of them are lottery, and they're probably both 20 plus.
So, like, Giroux was a late round pick, but, like, he didn't make the NHL right away.
No, there's no... I mean, listen, they could draft an NHLer with their picks. They could draft two NHLers, but these are not going to be guys that are going to have an impact anytime soon.
No, this is a one foot in, one foot out.
Yes. Yep.
I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. Like, then I don't care what they do. Just fucking go for it then. You have all this draft capital again. Just like you've talked about it with your other pods. Just like Hextall. All this draft capital, and he either did nothing with it, or he completely whiffed on most of those picks.
One of the things that we've brought up over the last few months on this show is, like, my expectation for this season, I thought they were going to be worse than they were.
But at the
end of the day, this season doesn't matter because they're even if they make the playoffs, they're not going to win a cup. They're probably going to get beat in the first round. And if they make it to the second round, they're not getting out of the second round. They're going to get destroyed by whoever they play in the second round. Mm-hmm. To me, it was always about how they respond. How do they, and the thing about them being so good this season and over exceeding expectations and whatnot, now they need to go into the summer and actually do something. Mm-hmm. If they were rebuilding and you want to sit on your hands, then it's all about selling, right? It's about selling, garnering the assets, incorporating the prospects into the lineup and making it work and building through internally. Mm-hmm. You don't have that anymore.
Mm-mm.
You can't sit here and go, oh man, we gave Lexell 5 minutes of ice time tonight and we drafted player X 31st overall. Woo! No, they need to add. You need to add, particularly talent down the middle would be ideal.
Big
finding a top partner for Drysdale that can work with would be ideal. You know, somebody that can score goals more than once a month would be ideal.
Yep.
You know, there are some high-end issues they need to address this summer. And this goes back to, I talked about this on the episode of Freaking Flyer this week. This is not a Danny Breer thing. This is a Flyers organization over the last 15 years thing.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't added anybody. When was the last time they made a big trade? It was Chris Pronger. That was 2009. Okay? Like, there's no recent track record of them making that big-time addition. Mm-mm. You know, it's time to rise up to the occasion here, they're doing that. And this team that's trying so desperately to hang on to that rebuild, for some unfucking godly reason they're still using that term. And then you've got Tortorella, and they're overcommitting to guys like fucking Nick Seeler and Ryan Poehling and all these rando depth players. Do they actually improve this summer with any kind of legitimacy, or do they go, okay, we got to get rid of Nick DeLaurier, let's bring in Nick DeLaurier 3.0 to replace him, somebody more Garnet Hathaway type kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I'm worried about, is them going, ah, we overexceeded expectations, we can run it back more or less its entirety, 19 of the 23 players are already under contract next season, so there's not exactly a lot of natural room to grow anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it's the big question, is what comes next for the Flyers? Do they actually make a move? And listen, I always preface this by saying that they don't need to win a cup next year. They don't need to go out and make 7 key additions and add $80 million in cap and all that. I just want one. I want one player that has top 6 capabilities full-time that is close to point per game. Yeah, point per game. That's all I want. No more 40-point guys. No more middle 6 depth players. No more fucking two-way defensemen. I want stars. Bring me stars. Now, I don't know who that's going to be. This summer's looking real piss poor when it comes to, especially the free agent market. The trade market is still a little raw. It's too early yet to tell for sure, but that's what I want. And they put that pressure on themselves now being good. You can't sit here and champion making the playoffs then going, man, I can't wait to see who he drafted 28th overall this year. Fuck you! I don't want to hear that. It's time to be better. So,
and pretend you know all about the 28th overall pick, because we don't. Okay? And I'm okay with them. If they add, yes, go ahead and add. Do it. And the whole, here's an idea. Maybe they use that crutch, because first of all, they were desperately trying to get people back in the stadium again, because attendance is way down, And even the last Rangers game here apparently had a lot of fucking Rangers fans here. So you're still trying to get more Flyers fans in that building. So as a crutch, in case they came out fucking getting their ass kicked through October, November, it's a rebuild. Yeah. It's a rebuild. Sorry, everybody. It's a rebuild. Please come to the stadium. We put that giant orange asshole. He's in his own little corner. We're not going to bother you anymore with him. Okay? Val Camillo's gone. We care about the Flyers again. Which is, okay, I'm cool with all that. But the rebuild was a crutch.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, it turns out like, oh, shit. We actually do have some players here. Not enough, but they're working their balls off enough or they're playing pretty good. Well, it's not a rebuild. It's not.
No.
You have to buy out Cam Atkinson. He's taking up space. He has to go. Acquiring like Ryan Johansson, like you've said, just acquire a second rounder and fuck having to take on a contract.
Yeah, I would have
rather. Why are we bailing out the Avalanche?
You know, if Briere just said that, if we got a second rounder because Colorado wanted us to take on a shit contract and we didn't want to do that, so we settled for a second, I would have had so much more respect for him than if he said, I got the first rounder, but here's a fucking anchor for another season that we have to carry around. Yeah.
I would have been okay with getting a second for Walker because, like, even Gensel didn't get a first from Pittsburgh. It's only a first if they make the cup.
Yep.
And add to the list of players they need is a net front presence for the power play. They don't have that either. I mean, that 5-on-3 today was fucking awful. Why
overdue, overhaul the entire power play?
I mean,
it all sucks.
That 5-on-3, why are two players sitting on the goal line out wide? Like, attack the net. What are we doing? It's a 5-on-3.
Rocky Thompson is an idiot.
Dude, I've said that.
And you've got
before.
No offensive talent on this team.
No. Again, like,
it's a real bad mixture.
Yeah, I like Owen Tippett. He's too streaky still. He's not putting up the goals like last year. Konechny. This is why I'm always hung up on Konechny. That was his first goal in a month.
Yep.
I don't trust Travis Konechny when shit gets getting tough. Shit, when it get, like in the playoffs, he's got one playoff goal. It happened 6 years ago.
2018.
Oh my god, I don't trust some of these players still. And if the power play, it's gonna bite him in the ass in the playoffs. You have to have good special teams in the playoffs. The penalty kill's okay. That's been struggling. Is Sean Couturier part of the reason why the penalty kill was struggling? Maybe.
Yeah, where is the penalty kill at these days in the league?
Third. We're apparently officially tied for second. But like 61% the last few games. Not good enough.
Their power play is currently ranked
dead last.
Dead last with 12.9%.
Mm-hmm.
And the penalty kill is currently third in the league right now, 84.5%.
I mean, they got up to first and then dipped a little bit there. I mean, I wonder when he'll play Couturier next.
They did lose tonight. So, I mean, I was not surprised at all that Couturier didn't play tonight. Because, I mean, historically speaking, if they win, they run back the same lineup. So, when that rule applies to Brink and Lexell, I would assume it applied to Couturier, and in this case it did. And now they lost. I don't know. I mean, they're clearly working hard.
Yeah, they battled tonight. They definitely battled.
Potentially harder than they were with Couturier. But like I said, does it even matter if this guy's here or not?
No.
He's going to come back in and play 10 minutes a night on the fourth line. And, woohoo. Who cares?
Yeah. It's another thing. He got captaincy and then got demoted to the fourth.
Yeah, the whole reason that they didn't give it to Lawton was because you don't want to give a captain role to a depth player, and then they give the C to Couturier, and he's immediately on the fourth line all of a sudden. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, who do they? Islanders lost in regulation tonight. They're chasing the Flyers.
They play. They have a weekend series with Boston and Florida.
Is it Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah. And the Rangers on Tuesday.
Both are home games, huh? Well, Boston's going to beat us. And
Boston's probably going to beat them. Florida's going to give them a run, and then whether or not they actually beat Florida, TBD. But
like my theory is
tight.
It's extremely hard to sweep a team unless they're complete dog shit.
Yeah.
So if they like sweeping Florida is highly unlikely. If they get at least 1 point in each game, I'll be happy. But that Boston game last weekend was, I mean, just awful. They started off so good, and then because the complete lack of talent they have, and because Sandstrom stinks, like, they fell apart. But there's no way. How can Torts look himself in the mirror and go, time to put Mark Stahl back in this lineup. Ginning just isn't cutting it. Like, as if Mark Stahl's fucking cutting it.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the question all season here when it comes to this stuff is, how do you look at guys like Nick DeLaurier playing more often than not and go, man, it's a good day to scratch Bobby Brink. You know, same thing. There's a lot of those. I ask that question pretty much every show, actually.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are these randos, washed up guys playing because of that? And because it's respect. They're veterans. I need to play. Leadership. Culture.
And that's where I get people getting annoyed and frustrated with Torts and calling him antiquated. I get that. I'm not going to disagree with someone that says that. He's also getting the most out of this team. It's just, I don't know. It's just frustrating. I'm just glad Mark Stahl's been riding the bench. Same with Cam Atkinson. I mean, the only thing that's kind of a conundrum is Couturier, because he's your captain now.
There was a theory that I had a couple people on Twitter share with me, so I thought I'd bring it up here because I put it in the piece the other day, and I thought it was interesting that that Tortorella was not the one who named Couturier captain, that call came from above.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I not really thought about that, but I do think it makes sense. I mean, he was named captain just before the stadium series, a couple days before the stadium series. Jersey sales, first and foremost. And they can go on national television and talk about how great their culture is. And they just had to name their captain. Now, granted, that didn't fuck a word. They got obliterated in that stadium series game.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, that kind of makes sense of, hey, this was somebody else's call. Because I still, why was he named captain? How does Tortorella spend the last year and a half that he was here, nearly two calendar years now,
mm-hmm.
we're not having a captain. Nobody's good enough. We're not having a captain. It was like, it was the one sign of like a rebuild that this team had, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were either going to wait until they landed a gigantic free agent and they were going to give it to him, or they were going to make Cam York or Tyson Forrest or somebody earn it, right? They were going to go that far. You know, you didn't give it to Lawton for why? You know, you didn't give it to Konechny for why? You just had to give it to fucking Sean Couturier because he's the one who's under contract for the next 10 years. You know, so when I heard that theory that it was pressured onto Tortorella to hand out that captaincy right before the stadium series, I'm like, that does make sense. And it's probably why Tortorella could have scratched the guy, you know. And I'm sure he's doing it to light a fire and it's nothing personal, kid, kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it's not a great look. And as somebody on Twitter pointed out today, like, you know, the Flyers are trying to rebuild their culture and trying to ultimately attract players to play for this team. And then you do shit like this, which all it does is make everybody look bad, including the head coach,
mm-hmm.
who's already a fucking, you know, questionable
polarizing.
Human being. Yeah, yeah, polarizing. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know. You're going to come in and be a leader, and if you don't suck it, oh well, JK, you're in the press box for months at a time.
I don't scoff at that theory. Kind of not that long ago. Like, where did this come from? Is it up top? Is it Torts? Is it a little bit of both, but mostly up top saying, no, this is our captain now. By the way, I think Cam York has been playing really well lately. Just want to throw that out there. I'm
he's
digging
fine.
Cam York.
Yeah. I think people are starting to overvalue him a little bit, but he's fine.
Well, gotta look at who he's playing with out there too. But
yeah,
he seems like he's getting more confident with the puck on his stick.
He's doing some good things. I still think he's not quite there yet. And we're like, he's a number one defenseman. I saw a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. I'm like, let's pump the brakes a little bit, everybody. But yeah, he's, I don't know. I don't have a problem. Like, there's 101 other fucking problems I got to deal with other than Cam York right now.
Maybe you have pneumonia. Maybe that's why you keep coughing.
So I had COVID back in January. And when I had COVID the first time back in, well, it was like May of 22, I had a cough linger for a couple months afterwards. So I'm finally like, I've had enough. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow morning, seeing what they're going to, probably just some inhaler or something to try and
Albuterol.
Yeah, probably. But we shall see. But yeah, I've had enough of this cough because it is just not going away now. And it's been like 7 or 8 weeks.
Is it bothering your sleep too?
Not particularly.
That's good.
But everything else, just throughout the day, just will not stop.
So, I guess one of my last points I'll make tonight is I've been calling the Flyers on Twitter frauds a lot lately. And part of my theory with that is every big game they've had, except a couple down the stretch here, they lost. They lost to the Rangers. They lost to the Penguins. They've lost to the Leafs twice, and then they finally just beat them. Boston keeps kicking their ass. You know, I said, and Papa was agreeing with me. I was saying, like, not a legit team doesn't lose every single fucking divisional matchup. They got the Devils kicked their ass in the Stadium Series.
In the Stadium Series.
Yeah.
The last week of February, they had the back-to-back with the Rangers and Penguins, and they dropped both of them. They got stomped by Tampa on the trip.
Stomped.
You know, they took the loss to Toronto twice. Boston, you know, like, the story has just been their consistent struggle to step up when it matters most. You know, they beat Florida twice. They beat Winnipeg twice this year.
Which is shocking.
But, you know, I think the thing I kind of chalk that up to is, like, when the Flyers are working their asses off in December, I think a lot of these teams that are just overflowing with talent don't have their foot on the gas that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And so a team that's working hard, it wants to come in and outwork them essentially for that one night, they can do it. You know, that's what this 82-game playoff schedule amounts to. But this time of year, when everybody's fighting for playoff positioning and now it's time to pedal to the metal shit, Flyers aren't holding up very well against a lot of this talent. And, you know, they're probably tired because they've been working their asses off since game one back in October. And everybody else is starting to ramp it up after taking, you know, maybe a lighter approach to their season because they have the talent to just win games naturally. So I do think there's that weird kind of dichotomy of just what other teams build like and what the Flyers are building like that are causing them to struggle a little bit here when it comes down to the stretch run here against some of these better teams. So, yeah, I mean, these next three games, they still got... what was it? Boston, Florida, Rangers. After that, things do get a little easier. They got Montreal and Chicago next Thursday and Saturday. Islanders, Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal again. So if they can survive these next three games, they do have a bit of an easier stretch going into the end of the season here, at least for a little while. Then they got a problem again. But
yeah, but they barely beat San Jose last week.
That is true. They barely got out of San Jose. Okay. But
Like, we did a post-game show and they beat Tampa. And we were like, well, we caught Vasilevskiy on an off night. Good to take advantage of catching a rare off night from Tampa. And then last week, they faced a Tampa that set the record straight and shit-kicked us 7-0. Shit-kicked us.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's... all these teams are here. And they have exceptional superstar talent. The Lightning have their guys. The Bruins have their guys. The Rangers have their guys. You know, whether it's Panarin, Kucherov, Point, Kachuk on Florida with Barkov. Like, all those teams have the Leafs have Matthews and Marner when he's not hurt. And the Flyers don't have that.
No.
And maybe that's where they can possibly take Carolina in a 7-game series. But, like, Carolina has Aho, and they have an exceptional defensive group that I just... any that'll probably be the closest first round matchup they get, is if it's Carolina. Anyone else is going to kill them.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Like you said, like you already said to open the show. I don't trust Ersan or Ayerson or however you want to pronounce it. To give you four good enough games. Tonight he looked good. He looked okay against Toronto a couple nights ago. It's just, man, they, like you said, they got to add people. Like, if you can't keep saying rebuild with the shit you're doing, it's time to shit or get off the pot.
Yep.
And if they're going to totally tear it down in the summer, then so be it. But I think they would have already done that this summer.
Yeah, I don't think they're taking a step back this summer. I still think the most likely outcome is they just run it back nearly in its entirety.
And they'll get killed.
And yeah, and then they're just punting that ball down the road for another year. But, I don't know. They need to add. They need to do something. But, TBD.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I got.
Yeah, I mean, they always lose overtime in spectacular ways.
Yeah, it's, what else to expect, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a good rehearsal. Like, they showed they can hang with Carolina, at least. But again, a seven-game series with tighter checking is a much different animal. But that's all I got.
Well, we'll call it a day here, everybody. We got another episode of Freakin' Flyer on Sunday. And then we'll have somebody here next week, I'm sure. I don't know who yet. We'll figure it out. Plenty of shit on the website, brotherlypuck.com. Links are working, even though the photos are not. Oh, buddy, has it been a day trying to deal with this. But, yeah, I'm working on it, everybody. I'm trying my best here. But, plenty of shit on the website, BrotherlyPuck.com, at Dan the Fly Fan, BrotherlyPuck, @Brotherly_Pod, Dan the Fly Fan _jerseys over on Instagram. If you want to check that out. And, Nick, where can people find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter, @Forza_Inter215. Give me a follow, give Dan a follow, and please give all the episodes of Brotherly Pod a chance.
All right, everyone, until next time, goodbye and good night. Drop the gloves, let's go! Drop the gloves!